Well, you guys, this next week, as we teach through the book of Colossians, we will be going through chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. And I'm either next week or the following week, Lord willing, I will be finishing our series through the book of Colossians in the sufficiency of Christ. And, you know, I've really enjoyed teaching through this book. And next, and our following series will be through the book of James. And it's going to be, I've been talking to Doug about, and I'll talk more about that next week. There'll be a series through the book of James, which has been on my mind for months. And I felt that was to be our next book. We talk about the sufficiency of Christ. Now we're talking about faith in action. And so a perfect tying together of two of the books of looking at Christ and living it out in your daily life. And so I'm excited about that series. If you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles. And before we pray, I'd like to read through the passage, two passages today before we pray and commit this word into the Lord's hands. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. And we're going to go 2 to 4. Let me read this. Paul says, "Continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." And I also want you to forward to verse 12 of Colossians chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God." Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, as we look, as we dig into this passage today, Father, I pray, Lord, through your Spirit, you would speak to everyone here, wherever we're at, Lord, that you'd open our hearts. And I'd ask this request of you, Lord, Father, today. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting that as Paul, when he's now approaching the end of his letter, as we'll see in next week or so, we'll see him closing out this letter by just kind of greeting them from different people he's been working with in the ministry. But it's very interesting that one of the final instructions that he gives to the church in Colossae is the subject of prayer. And it's interesting that Paul here, I believe, highlights five aspects of prayer. And these are the five aspects of prayer that I want to talk about this morning. First, steadfast prayer. Two, watchful prayer. Three, thankful prayer. Four, targeted prayer. And then five, struggling prayer. So let's take a moment just to look at these different aspects of prayer. First is steadfast prayer. What do I mean when I say steadfast prayer? Steadfast means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent. The dictionary would describe steadfast as to be firm and unwavering. So we are to be steadfast in prayer. You know what? As many of you know, God has called us to be people of prayer. And as many of you do know, for those who have wanted to pray and to make this a discipline in your life, you kind of realize it isn't very easy. The idea, I mean, really, the idea is simple. Talk to God. Right? How hard is that? But when we begin to do it, it just doesn't seem to happen that way. There are so many things, I don't know about you, but my wife and I with three kids, and there's so many things vying for our attention. There are so many distractions. There's works, there's kids, there's sickness, there's things going on with a family. And just this last week, we found out we have mice issues in our house. And so I got some stuff yesterday, and we're trying to deal with our mice issue. It's like all these distractions, yet we're still supposed to pray. To pray. You know, I kind of figuring out, at least in my own life, that we need to be intentional in things that we do. Intentional in outreach, intentional with people we get to know, intentional in our devotional life. It takes intention, not just a good feeling, because good feelings just kind of fade away. I'm going to do it because I feel like it. You have to be intentional when it comes to this issue of prayer. To be diligent, to be firm, to be unwavering, steadfast prayer. And you know, I think one of the dangers we have is we need to be careful to give in to the temptation of just coasting in our prayer life. Because if we coast, you know what that means? We just don't do it because we have other things that take our attention. But the question we need to ask ourselves, why do we need to be steadfast in our prayers? You know, as I learned earlier this year, as I was listening to a message by Francis Chan, and he mentioned something, that prayer is a sign of our dependence. Prayer is our sign of our dependence on God. Our dependence on self, others, or God will be dependent on our prayer life. And here's some questions just to ask yourself. When you face a temptation, who do you go to first? When you need guidance for a certain situation or something's going on in your life, who do you go to first? When you face a health crisis in your life or a crisis in a family member or a friend's life, who do you go to first? Because when you answer that question, will determine, right? Do you run to God first or you run to other things first? There's many times my wife and I are like, have we prayed about this? We've been stressing out about something. It's like, maybe that would have been good if we went to God first. But sometimes we get caught up with our own human solutions for things and not go to God. Because if we don't pray, you know what you're really saying? I know you aren't saying this in your mind. You aren't consciously saying this. But it's really what you really are saying is when you don't pray, I can do it myself. And I really don't need God. I can depend on myself. I don't need Him. But maybe how we should look at prayer is like our breath we breathe. We are dependent upon it to function and to survive. Have you ever seen a person that is oxygen deprived? I recall years ago, and I don't know if it was when I was in EMT training or if I got my license or certificate yet, but I remember going out to a call because you have this pager when you're going through your training. I think it was during the training, and you get this call and you get down there because you'd want to get experience. And I remember going down there and this guy was, he got an accident, I think it was a car accident, and he kept feeling like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And you know, that idea of not being able to get oxygen, that stress. And even though it may have been true or not true, he just felt that pressure, whatever accident he was. And I think he had to be airlifted off the island. We were living up there on Woodby Island, but he did not get air. That desperation that he knew he needed it. And I wonder if we need to look at prayer that way. Just like we need oxygen, we need connection with God. Do we look at it in that same desperation? Or maybe you can imagine it this way. Just imagine your family saved up for this vacation and you wanted to go down to Jamaica. And you went down there and one of your excursions was, I'm going to go scuba diving for my first time. I've always wanted to. My main concern is my ears. You know, if you have any kind of sinus issues or whatever, it's really tough to go scuba diving because of the water pressure. But just imagine, you were able to go, you know, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to go scuba diving. So you get all set up, you get down there, you get checked into your hotel, and now you go to the, that day approaches, you go to excursion, you go to that place, they go through the little training with you, and what is one of the pieces of the equipment they give you is the oxygen. And then when you go down, they talk about, you know, you need to make sure you always have oxygen, and can take a look at your oxygen gauge. Because, you know, if you go down, and you may not realize that your oxygen's getting low, and if you do, sometimes you can still function for a while when it just gets low. And then slowly you start getting the delirium, you start kind of, well, kind of feel weird, you can't think clearly. You are dependent upon it to not only function, because those that don't have enough oxygen, it affects the brain in strange ways, right? But when you lose the oxygen altogether, you die. In a similar way, our dependence upon Jesus, how we connect to Him, is through prayer. So when we are steadfast, diligent, unwavering in prayer, we are saying, Jesus, I need you. How are you? Are you steadfast in prayer? Or does it just kind of come with how you feel like it? The second aspect of prayer we see here is where Paul says the idea of watchful prayer. Watchful, to keep awake and to be vigilant. Is that almost humorous? Awake and prayer? You ever notice when you decide to pray? Or if you're like, maybe you'll justify it like, you know, I Doug will say, well, it says give your, but Lord, you've given your beloved sleep. Right? I mean, anytime you decide you want to pray, I wonder if people should go off their sleep medications, just determine to pray. You'll sleep great. So maybe we should all get off our any type of medication you're on and say, you know what, I'm going to start praying. Okay, if I'm not going to sleep tonight, I'm going to pray. Well, you might start sleeping really good. But be watchful, to be awake, to be vigilant. But you know, when you do get tired, do you ever think is it really a coincidence? You know, when Jesus asked his disciples, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew his time was coming. He goes there with his disciples. Judas is going off to betray him. Then he says, hey guys, pray. And then he takes Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of discipleship, and he takes them with him, pours out, you guys, please pray with me. I need you, you know, like the idea. And then he goes away from them, and he begins to pray in agony. And what does his disciples do? I mean, they start sleeping away. And he comes back, I think, like three times, and they're sleeping away. But do you remember that one of the times he came back, he said to Peter, and we see that in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. He says this, 40 and 41. Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what Jesus is really teaching Peter, or really even teaches disciples here? The importance of watchful prayer. How this type of prayer can help divert us away from temptation. The message paraphrased, I'm going to call, you know, paraphrased in the Message Bible, paraphrases it this way. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. Prayer can divert us away from temptation. You know what's really interesting about this whole story? Is while they were sleeping, the enemy came and they were not aware of it. Except, all of a sudden the soldiers come, Peter, what happened, Peter? Oh, takes his sword out, pop, the ear comes flying off. He wasn't even ready. They weren't watching, and they weren't ready when the enemy came in. And many of us are not praying, and the enemy comes in, and we don't know it. Watchful prayer opens like this our discernment to be able to see the movement of the enemy in our lives. We need watchful prayer. We need to be awake. We need to be watching. In the Old Testament, we see the description of the watchman of a city in Ezekiel chapter 33. And you know, it's the job of the watchman was to be up there. And if it's all night, whatever was his round was. And he would be up there and he'd be inspecting and watching for the enemy. And if he saw an enemy approaching, he would then blow the horn and people would be warned that an enemy and to be prepared to get ready because the enemy was coming. But could you imagine if the watchman fell asleep? He started dozing. He wasn't diligently looking. And suddenly the enemy comes in and no one's prepared. Of course, in that passage, God talks about, you know, what happens if the watchman does blow the horn and people do respond. Okay. Watchman's done his job, but if the watchman doesn't do his job, watch out. Judgment will be upon that watchman. In a similar way, we need to be watchful. We need to be awake. We need God to give us a discernment to open our own eyes, or even in prayer, open our eyes about a friend or family member so we can pray for them and be watchful as the enemy wants to come into our lives or into the lives of those around us. Are we watchful prayer? Do we watchfully pray and watch and discern what God is saying? Are we watchful in prayer? The third aspect of prayer we see here is thankful prayer. Do we express enough thanksgiving in our prayers? Thankful prayer. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." I love that. God, like going into the gates, enter into God's presence. We are to go in with thanksgiving. Psalm 107 verse 1 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Psalm 136, 1 through 3 emphasizes that over and over again, where it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." You know, out of all the different aspects of prayer, this should be the easiest. Just think, what can you be thankful for? There's always something to be thankful for. Of course, if you're one of those in the pit of despair, what can I be thankful for, Reed? Cross. If you have nothing, if you really deceive yourself, think there's nothing else you're thankful for. That's a huge thing in itself for us to be thankful for. But then there's other things. Maybe you're having a decent moment in your life. You're not having a lot of health issues. Maybe you're thankful for some family member. Maybe not all of them, but a certain family member. Maybe you're thankful for having food to eat. If you came this morning, you could have had food out there to eat, right? What about a home, a place to live, to sleep? What about the beauty of creation? What about the talents that God has given you? We can always find something to be thankful for. But there's a story I came across about a man named Bob. He was 34 years old, and he attended a men's movement weekend. And while away, he realized he never told his father how much he loved him. So he made a decision that when he got home, he was going to do it. So he got home, he calls his dad on his phone and said, "Hey, Dad, it's me. Hi, son. I'll go get your mother. Oh, no, oh, oh. Don't get mum. It's you I want to talk to. There was a pause, and then his dad said, why? You need some money? No, Dad, it's just I've been remembering a lot about you, Dad, and the things you did for me. Working all those years to put me through college, supporting us. My life is going well now, and it's because of what you did. I just thought about it and realized I never really said thanks. There was silence on the phone. So the son continued. I want to tell you thanks and that I love you. His dad responded, son, you've been drinking? I wonder if God wants to respond to us almost in a similar way. We prayed to him. He's like, I mean, I don't know. Have you been drinking? What's going on? Sometimes we go to God when we only have a problem. Would you want your child only to come to you when you have a problem? Not just because of you? Yeah, none of us are like emergency prayers. We pray only when there's emergency, when we have a problem. And now we're really good and we wonder why God doesn't answer because one, we're really not having connection with God the rest of the time. And even if he did speak, would we be able to hear him? Because we only pray when we're in emergencies. Well, God doesn't answer me when I pray. Well, you only pray in emergencies. God wants us to come to pray just to be with him. That's one thing that's really been, I've been challenged in my own prayer life, that why do I pray? I pray just to connect to Jesus. That should be my primary focus, is to connect with Jesus. Not to go there with my Christmas list of all the things he should be doing. That just kind of outflows out a relationship. I go to connect with Jesus, and as I connect to him, God puts people on your mind or you bring your needs and it kind of goes from there. But the main reason is just connect with Jesus. Connect with him. How about you? Do you shock God because you're not very thankful? Do you shock God because you don't spend much time in prayer to him? Do you shock God because of your lack of thankfulness? Are you thankful in your prayers? Let's overflow our prayers with thanksgiving, even before we enter into requests, petitions, intercessions. Let's be thankful. Another aspect of prayer I see here in this passage, and I call it targeted prayer. Because here in Colossians, Paul's in prison. And he asked for prayer that God would open to him a door to be able to declare the mystery of Christ. And that God would give him the words to say. So he's asking very specifically, hey, I ask you to open a door for me. I'm here in prison. People are coming in and out to see him. Soldiers are around him. He has great opportunities. He's asking that God open an opportunity to be able to preach Christ. Here we see targeted prayer. When I think of a target, I think of a shooting target. You place a target out on the range, and then you attempt to shoot it in a specific spot on that target. Normally, if it's a regular target, right in the bullseye. A popular shooting target today is the zombie targets. The little zombie with a weird deformity. Of course, the first place you try to shoot in the head. I even have for my 9mm, some zombie, they call it a zombie bullet. It's more for like protection type ammunition where it's made to really shoot someone. Really, but of course, zombies. You know, if zombie apocalypse happened, man, I'm good. Pop. And they're kind of like greenish kind of things. They kind of make it to for the Walking Dead weird people here who like to watch that. But, you know, you shoot it and you miss, and if your sights are off, you could have it adjusted or whatever, and you shoot it and you get better and you start shooting more where you want on that target. I recall when I took Kelton in Colorado Springs to a kids shooting thing where a father would bring their kids and they'd bring their .22 rifles. And I remember my dad gave me his .22 rifle, so I said, okay, Kelton, let's go. And we had another friend, Sam, and his kids, and we went down there to go shooting. And of course, they have the instructor there going through all the safety with the kids and all that. And then they begin to do the targets. But one thing I didn't realize, you guys ever hold old R22 rifle? Some of the old ones are stinking heavy. My dad's was one of those old style. That was solid. The new ones, man, they're like, you almost boop, catch them and, oh yeah, boom, and pop them. My dad's was not that way, and Kelton was a little guy. And I didn't know. I go, we're going to go. And so he's trying to shoot this gun, and it's too heavy on the end. So the instructor's like showing him how to prop on the end of the barrel so he could shoot. And these kids are like getting closer to the, you know, and the target. And poor Kelton, I mean, come on, he could barely hold the gun up because it was just too heavy. I felt bad. Like, I mean, I need to go get him a, you know, go buy him a $120 one that's light and has no problem. But you know, he'd get practice. He gets bigger and he starts practicing. He could probably figure out the old heavy gun, right? But you know, in a similar way, as Christians, we need to spend time targeting prayer. Targeting, focusing on prayer. And what I mean by targeted prayer is, for example, Tony and Cheryl, that's targeting prayer on a special need. Or, you know, I think of them, okay, you know, I pray for her, I pray for healing. I pray for strength. I pray for her daughter to come to know Jesus. She's asked us for that. Her daughter does not know Jesus. That's targeted prayer. We pray for these issues this morning. That is targeting prayer. We look for a friend looking for a job. That's targeting our prayer. A family member struggling with addiction, and we pray for them. That's targeting in prayer. You know, one of the great prayer I'd ask you guys want targeting prayer for our church? You know what I'm praying for? I believe is our next step, our one big step we need here, is we need a youth pastor. We need someone to come along, Johnny and Robert, that could come along and they could go and they could lead our youth together. We're stuck there. We're stuck, and we need targeted prayer in that area. That God would bring some of it in our midst, someone outside who says, I love youth, I will be involved, I will invest Jesus, and I will be there for them. Because you know, in 5 years, well, 3 years, Kelton will be 15. 3 years, Olivia, well, no, 15. Olivia will be 13. A lot of our kids right at that age will be in junior high and high school. And I want our youth group to be on fire with people for Jesus. And we need a leader who could run, drive. Johnny would do it if he could in his heart, right, Johnny? But he needs someone to come alongside, and they need to run this together and has the energy to do it. So if you guys want target prayer, will you target pray for that? And that's next month. So God would raise up someone saying, yeah, I will do. I will do what it takes to reach our youth for Jesus, to build them up to grow in him. Target prayer. But you know what? When you're first starting to do targeting prayer, you know what? You're going to miss. The more you shoot, the closer to the target and the bullseye you're going to get. So don't give up if you're targeting and it doesn't seem to be doing much. Keep practicing and begin to see what God will do. And then the last aspect of prayer I see here in this passage is struggling prayer. In Colossians, Paul mentions Epaphras, one of their fellow countrymen, one of the men who brought the gospel to those in Colossae. And Paul mentions that Epaphras is always struggling on their behalf in his prayers. Epaphras was willing to go in battle through prayer. When we pray, you know one reason it's not easy? I think it's a huge reason it's not easy, is because it's a spiritual battle. Does the enemy want you to tap into God? No way. He wants to discourage you. You ever notice that when you pray, the enemy attacks? You know, it reminds me, and do any of you guys, I mean, the younger people, you won't know this here, but you know, do you guys ever remember the book by Frank Peretti Books? This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness, and there's all these, he did other books. Remember those books? And I remember, I think it's Piercing the Darkness. I don't quite remember exactly which book. But there was one, I think it was the second book, where a pastor is in the church praying. And this demon is going in. Because the whole book is about, you see that what's going on in the spiritual. And this demon's going in. But the angels are there, but the angels were not given permission by God to go in yet. So, of course, the angels are sitting there waiting for the word from God. And that demon's coming up, this guy, this pastor's over him. And then, bam, the demon's thrown out. But then the demon keeps coming back. And bam, the demon's thrown out. And then it goes in. And eventually, boom, the angels are go in. And boom, they go in. And they kind of bring that rest and peace upon the person who's struggling in prayer. When we pray, we need to be steadfast in it, because true prayer, you struggle through and in. It's a struggle much of the time. Probably most of the time, it seems to be a struggle. You could tie that together with worship. You know how many times when I worship, all these things are going through my mind? And I keep having to go, whoop, whoop, no, Jesus, you, whoop, 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 come back here, Jesus, you. I mean, it's like, same thing in prayer. In prayer. My younger brother, I come from a family of seven, two families in a sense, it was older four, 6 year gap, and the other three. And my brother Lee decided with his best friend to go on a world trip. So not too long after high school, they bought a one-way ticket to Papua New Guinea, and they just went there. No way to get back, and they were gonna go on a missions trip just like together as friends. And they went for almost a year until God provided for them to come back, and they started there and just traveled all over different parts of the world. And I do remember one story they told me. There's several stories I remember, but this is one that is applicable to today, is they were talking about they were in this village. And I don't remember where they're at, and they just felt an urgency that they were not to leave that building they're in, that hut they're in, that they were in danger or whatever, and they were not to leave, and they were to pray. They prayed until that lifted from them. Struggling prayer. Spiritual battle prayer. I think, and I don't know about you, I'm going to say for myself, I think I'm guilty sometimes in my prayer life because I don't realize that the enemy is actively in work. And so sometimes I just pray not with that in my mind thinking I'm in a spiritual battle. That's huge. Imagine running into a battle with no armor. Imagine being prepared and going to battle knowing, okay, I'm going to this battle. It's going to be a spiritual battle. You go in with attention and you pray and you struggle through it. But many of us go in there, oh, I feel like praying today. Woohoo, I'm doing good. And you pray, okay. And the next day you're going through, you know, just kind of you're off. Your emotions are off. You didn't sleep. Oh, I'm going to, oh, no, not today. Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it at 3 today. No, okay, I'll do it at 5. I'll do it at 9. Oh, and you're out and the next day goes on, that whole thing. We don't realize we need to struggle through prayer. Forget the worship team, come forward. Because you ever notice that when you pray, the thoughts that sometimes come in your mind, you're a failure, you're not worthy, why would God listen to you for things you've done this week? Does anyone get that? Do you ever have those things come in your mind? Continue, stay steadfast, be watchful, fill your prayer with thanksgiving, continue to target your prayers, keep struggling through prayer because you are in a battle. You are in a battle. When you think of struggling with prayer, you know what comes to my mind? I think of Jesus in the garden. He's at Gethsemane. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows the judgment of God, the wrath of God is on him for the sins of the world. He knows that. And you know what? There's a part of Jesus that did not want to go there. And he went to this garden to pray so he does not enter into temptation, right? What happens if Jesus ultimately, if he could do that and Jesus didn't do what he did and he didn't pray, I wonder if we would not have a Savior right now. He told Peter, pray lest you enter into temptation. He was entering into temptation, and his flesh did not want to go to the cross, but he knew that he was supposed to go to the cross, and he's struggling with that. So he goes to his Father, and you remember that prayer. He said, my Father, let this cup pass from me. nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then it says he went then again and prayed again, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. His will was at conflict inside of him to go to the cross. And what happened? Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. The good news, because Jesus struggled through prayer. Steadfast prayer, watchful prayer, thankful prayer, targeting prayer, and struggling prayer. So as we close, as we get ready, and I'll get ready for the offering. We'll take the offering at the end here. I want you guys to know, as I said earlier, as Paul over and over brings the focus back to Jesus, why do we do steadfast prayer? Why do we do all these different aspects of prayer? Father, I want to connect with Jesus. You know, that delights the Father's heart. You know why? Because when we get to know Jesus, we get to know the Father. So Father delights when we want to know his Son, because he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. His delight is in his Son, because when we get to know the Son reveals the Father to us, to the one he chooses to reveal. Think about that. So the whole thing, you guys, I don't know where you're at in your prayer life, but as we worship today, as we take our offering, guys, we're doing it to connect with Jesus. We're singing this last song, not just to feel good. We're doing it to connect Jesus. We pray because we want to connect to Jesus. May that be our heart. May we ask God, teach us to pray with that passion in our heart. Let's worship.